Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our God and Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In my years growing up, I was taught by my parents to have a healthy respect for adults, grandparents, for those who serve in society. This, of course, is what the fourth commandment is all about. Honor your father and mother. It applies certainly to our parents, especially as they get on in years, but it also applies to others in positions of authority. We are to give respect to whom respect is owed. To not respect people who deserve our respect is to belittle their gifts and their position of authority. After all, the many forms of authority at work in the world are a gift from God, without which human societies would not be able to survive and thrive and flourish. And certainly there does come a point in time in which an authority oversteps their God-given bounds and must be held to accountability. But generally speaking, authority is a blessing from God. Without authority and the respect authorities are owed, we would be looking at a constant state of chaos. In fact, every world power that has ruled some fraction of land throughout recorded history have one thing in common. Their fall was marked by a descent into chaos, a descent into dishonoring authority, a descent into civil wars, wanton bloodshed, and a loss of whatever power they thought they had. When authority isn't honored, the seeds of rebellion and anarchy can easily bloom. Or to put it another way, when authority isn't honored and respected, God withholds his sovereign mercy, and then his wrath runs deep and catches many in the undertow. This is what Jesus is warning the religious leaders of his day all about. Jesus warns them the best way he could with a parable. He tells a parable that is about these religious leaders, but they don't realize that it's about them right away. At the end of the parable is where Jesus really gets them. He asks them in verse 40, "When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants that killed the servants, killed the son?" And these men, these religious leaders, you can think just how smug they are as they're about to answer. They're grinning ear to ear because they think Jesus is talking about someone else and not them. And then boom, here comes the dig. Here comes the indictment spoken with their own lips. And they say, "The owner will put those wretches to a miserable death." Who are the wretches? It's them. It's them. And why are they being judged? Because like the tenants in the parable, these leaders and the generations before them have no respect for any of God's prophets. Not Jeremiah, not Isaiah, who we just heard from in chapter 5, that scathing rebuke against Israel. Not Hosea, not Zechariah, not Amos, not any of the prophets, but also not John the Baptist, the cap of the Old Testament prophecy, something we heard about in last week's gospel lesson. But what's worse, what is far, far worse, is that they have no respect for the Son. They have no respect for the owner, the owner's son of the vineyard. They have no respect for Jesus Christ. And because they don't respect Jesus, they ultimately have no respect for the Father, the Lord God Almighty. And because of this, they were flirting with the very judgment of God. And when you flirt with the judgment and the wrath of God, you will never come out on top. As it was for these religious leaders 2,000 years ago, as they witnessed and saw everything taken away from them as the Romans ran roughshod over Jerusalem in 70 AD, the same holds true today. Disrespecting the Son of God always has and will always lead to this outcome. If not now, then in eternity. Now, years ago, thinking about respect and authority, I vividly remember being at the ice rink, a place I often was, at Wilson Park in Milwaukee. I was probably 9 or 10 and my brother was 7 or 8. And there was something going on that I didn't really know what was going on, but my father did. He told me that my little brother was being picked on by a couple of the bigger kids on his team. My brother was a good little hockey player, but he was a little guy. He's not so little anymore. He's taller than I am, which isn't a very hard accomplishment, of course. But back then, I really was the big brother. And so a big brother must do what a big brother must do because a son of my father was disrespected. To disrespect the son is to disrespect the father. An affront to the integrity of the son is an affront to the integrity of the father. A slight or an insult made against the son is a slight or an insult made against the father. And so I had to approach these bullies. I told them, knock it off or else. Of course, I don't know what I would have actually done if they didn't listen to me. I don't know what the or else would have been, but thanks be to God, they did listen to me and they knocked off their bullying. After all, I played goalie, which is the least aggressive position on the ice rink. So these bullies, they knocked off their shenanigans and then they showed me respect as a big kid and they also respected my brother. And through all of this, the respect that my father had lost was regained. And turning back to Jesus' parable, Jesus is confronting these religious leaders using this parable because of their refusal of not only refusing to acknowledge the prophets of God that he sent year after year, time and time again, but ultimately the Son of God who's standing right before them, probably not even appropriately socially distanced away. There is Jesus right there in front of them, and they have no respect for him. And if they didn't respect the Son, then they certainly didn't respect the Father. Jesus puts it this way in John chapter 5. He said, "The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Father." So whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. In our parable for today, Jesus, he provides no wiggle room for the religious leaders of his day. Jesus provides no wiggle room also for those who want to water down the ultimate authority and the power of the Son of God. No one can approach Jesus and say, "Well, with all due respect, Jesus, I know that you're saying all these things and doing all these things, but I really think you're overvaluing your importance. I mean, yes, you're a son of a father, but a son of the Father, the Lord God Almighty. I mean, come on, Jesus, aren't there many paths to get to God? Why must everyone go through you?" Anyone who approaches the one true God revealed in the work and the person of Jesus Christ and says to this God, "With all due respect," truly shows no respect at all. Because to not honor the Son is to not honor the Father. To not respect the eternal Son of God is to not respect the eternal Father. To not respect the Son of God is to throw your dice and you will never get a 7 and you will never get an 11. You will always get snake eyes. To not respect the Son of God is to pour gasoline on God who is an all-consuming fire, as we hear in the Scriptures. To not respect the Son of God is to invite God to be a bull in the china shop of our lives. There's no sugarcoating it. This parable teems with judgment. And it's precisely right here, folks, that this parable is so important to understand. In the parable, the owner, God, sends servants, the prophets, to check on the fruit of the vine. The tenants in the parable, the religious leaders, kill the servants of the owner. And in response to this, the owner would have been perfectly justified sending an armed militia to mercilessly slay all these terrible, wicked tenants. But he doesn't. He does something unheard of. He sends his son to perhaps bring peace between the owner and the tenants. If the tenants killed the other servants, surely they won't kill the son, will they? But they do. They kill the son. In the same way, the Lord God Almighty would be perfectly justified in wiping sinful humanity off the face of the earth for crucifying the Son of God. The Lord God Almighty would have been perfectly justified in sending all the whole hosts of heaven to rain judgment after judgment upon this earth until there was nothing left, but he didn't. He didn't. Even though the eternal Son of God is killed, what does the Father do? He raises him up. He raises him up, he places him at his right hand, and then the Son comes to us, comes to you again and again and again. The Son comes to us again and again, rebels all. He comes to us again and again in the Word, in the sacraments. Because not even death dissuades this God from making peace with you, with this world. Though his divine blood was shed, it was shed that peace would come, not at the cost of your life, but at the cost of his. Though the Son of God is still mocked by unbelievers and not duly respected by some who claim to be Christian, what does the Father do? Will he send an army of angels? No, not yet. But that day will come when Christ returns. No, the Father again and again sends the Son, as he is doing now, through preaching, through the sacraments, through the beauty of sacred music, through the mission and the ministry of his church, that you would receive his inheritance, the boundless riches of his mercy. And all of you gathered here this morning are proof of that. Through holy baptism, you receive the advance of your inheritance, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to be at work in you and through you, making you holy, helping you produce good fruits for the sake of glorifying your God and Father, helping you to respect this beloved Son of God, Jesus Christ, with all you are and with all that you have, so that you can say like St. Paul did in Philippians chapter 3, everything is rubbish, garbage, compared to my Lord Jesus. It's like God saying to us, with all due respect, I'm not finished with you. Neither am I finished with this world. The work of salvation is done. But there are many who need to be found, many who need to see, cherish, receive, believe, and respect the Son of God as Lord and Savior. People of God, the Lord will not stop until all knees bow to Christ. Some will bow in reverence and worship and with all respect. Others will not. They had their chance, indeed many chances. But people of God, that day is not today. Today is the day of grace, in which the Father sends his Son to you again to pour out his mercy, his love, his grace this very day. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.